We're going to go to James chapter 1. And I want you to think about, what's your conduct? How do you act when you're in a trial? Do you see where the Lord has worked in your life? I mean, a lot of people say, well, I'm just not growing. And they go, oh, I just hate it when I say this, or I hate it when I do this. Well, you're growing because you used to do it and you could care less. So that's growth. That means it's something's being worked on the inside of you. But how do we act through a trial? Think of the 12 tribes and when they're scattered. In James chapter 1, this is James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes when they're scattered abroad. Greeting. Well, even though you're scattered, even though these things are going to come to pass, God has always got someone there to comfort you. He's always there. He's got the word of God there. And that was the thing the Lord laid on my heart is, have you ever heard, I've seen movies with this, but even my daughter was telling me that the captain rose up and he said, sir, get on the line, go. It's time to go out to battle. And he said, where's your sword? And he goes, oh, sorry, sir. And he went back to get it. It's like, we better be prepared. We're to be prepared. Get your sword and sharpen it. It's a two-edged sword, but sharpening it in our hearts, that means we're ready at a time when the enemy comes that we can say, it is written. It is written. Who tempts us? Who brings temptations? People think a temptation is just to drink, smoke, overeat. They think those are the temptations or immorality. But I want to tell you, a temptation can be a thought in your mind just to think something. And it's like, or to get angry. Are we slow to anger? How is that going to change? We cannot change that. I mean, until we get to that place, we don't see the grace of God. You have to become small. That's why Paul is little one. Everything we do, we're dependent on the grace of God. Have your sword ready for battle. Be able to say, well, it is written. Only the word of God is going to stand forever. And you can look that up yourself. It's Isaiah 40 and verse 8 and 1 Peter 1:25. The word of God is what's going to stand. So who are we? We're being found in him. He is the word. We can stand, having done all to stand, but we better put our armor on. We need to run to God. Don't run to the lust or run to the temptation. Sometimes we run because we're afraid. He says, no, fear not. I want you to stand. When I tell you to move, you'll move. When I say he'll bring it, how's he going to bring to your remembrance the word of God at the time you need it when we don't even pick up the word and study? We've got to take it in. Ask the Lord, I need to know your word. And that's something he's always had on my heart from the time I ever started bringing out the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Not your opinion. It's not the opinions of men of what's right and what's wrong. It is measured in the balances. It's measured by the word of God. Tell me in your own life, or don't tell me, but think in your own life. What was it? Was it a scripture that came that cut into your heart that is changing you? Or would it be someone coming to you and say, you know that's wrong and that is bad and you shouldn't be doing it? What does that do? It stirs up the flesh. It just makes them want to do it even more. Why? They're a rebellious people. Stiff-necked, they don't want to change. Or maybe they do, but they don't want you telling them that this is bad and that's bad and you can't do this. We all stand before God. But I know that's why Paul said, preach the word. Because when you preach the word in Romans chapter 1, I was going through in Genesis 1 and I seen in the beginning there was a fall. And in Romans chapter 1, when you go in, and Romans 2, and you begin to study those things, you see where they knew God. So read the word. They knew God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And God gave them up to a reprobate mind. You see, preach the word. Why did he do that? What does the word say? Not what Penny says, not what this one thinks. Because man was using man for man and woman for woman. They were taking the natural use, what God gave, and they were taking it and using it according to the lust. And that's what I tell people. It's the lust of the flesh. Where do you get that? Because people are going to say, you don't have any right to tell me what to do. Well, I know somebody who does. And the Bible says in Romans, God gave them up. They knew God just by creation. All men are without excuse. They wanted to do what? They entered into temptation. They didn't have the word of God. They may have heard it, but they didn't take it. It is ours. It is mine. They didn't turn to God from idols. They turned to what satisfied the flesh. But if you've got to say anything about it, you've got to use the word, and that's your safety net. That is your safety net. Because when you take the word of God and you begin, just, I'm going to go over there real quick. When you take the word of God, and that's what's going to stand, no man can come against it. They can come against you. And what'll happen? It'll be fighting and envy, jealous, strife, bitterness, anger. It's going to be all those things. But why? Did you do it in the order that God gave it? That's when you suffer for the right reason. You're suffering for righteousness' sake. When I went over and I was reading this, it said, let's see. Oh, I'm in Acts. Sorry, guys. Romans chapter 1, my book, my Bible. I got to get a new one. I got it all scribbled. Right here. Now, let's just say God is going to correct you right this moment, okay? Not by me. That's not my job. That is not my job to change you. But it is the word of God that will do the changing. Wherefore, God gave them up to what? Uncleanliness. Now let's say they're partaking in this. Let's say they're walking in the flesh. Let's say they're doing these things. Wherefore God also gave them up. You gave up God. God gave you up. I don't think that's a good message to have to hear, but that's the gospel. Preach the gospel, the good news. He gave you up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. To dishonor. Does it say they're bringing honor? No, they're bringing dishonor to their bodies between themselves. That's God saying this. God is speaking it, and it's going to have an effect. But you're either going to be angry with God and turn away from God, or you're going to turn to God, and you're going to come to him and say, Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. I want to repent. I want to change my heart and my mind. But I need your grace. I need grace. They changed the truth of God. You see, the truth. John, in all the words he wrote, do you know he used that word truth 23 times? This is someone who leans on the breast of our Lord. He knows what is truth. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped. They're worshiping. And served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. It was for that cause right there that God said it. Through Paul, he wrote it down to every one of us. This is what we tell people. If God lays a message on your heart, I remember one time God had laid a message on my heart and someone come up afterwards and they go, oh my gosh, how needed was that? And I go, well, I guess the Lord knows what he's doing. But do you know everyone in the front row was a homosexual? I didn't know that, but look who did. Be led of the Spirit. Preach the word of God. Make him uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable when the word of God goes forth and God is pricking our hearts. He said, don't kick against it. Go with it. It was for this cause God gave them up to what? Their vile. You guys say it's okay? I'm just using this as an example. Is it okay It's a vile affection in the eyes of God. That's how God sees it. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is what? Against nature. It's against God. And I don't know about the rest of you, but all this was coming to pass, and I was like, every time I turn that TV on, it's getting worse. I am so tired of seeing a male with a male on my television. And people are just letting it happen. It's just standing there, but you know what it does? What happens when people see food on TV? If I'm hungry and I'm looking at a good commercial, the devil can use that to tempt you. Turn to God. Ask for grace. More grace and much more grace. As Eula used to tell me, we need another fold of grace. Likewise, your men, they were leaving the natural use of the woman. I mean, I just want you to stop and think, how powerful is this? When you just take the word of God and read it. Likewise, also you men leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their what? Lust. One toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. They got a reward for this. There was a recompense for that. I don't even have to tell you what it is. All I have to do is read this. They'll know what the recompense is. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. Being filled with, this is God's word, all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. When I read these, I always go, oh, Lord, thank you. He that is free indeed. These right here are all about the old man. That's why I know it was God. When I said, Lord, these people say they're born this way. And God, he gave me the answer. When you're born, what are you born in? You're born in sin, did my mother conceive me. Okay, now, but did God want you to remain that way? No. Did he want you to remain as a backbiter? As a gossiper? Envy, bitterness, strife? No. He, the Creator, made a new creation. That we don't have to live no longer under the lust of our flesh and being tempted. So I think we kind of got this now, but I want us to go now back over to James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy, verse 2, when you fall into diverse temptation. It didn't say when you go through diverse temptation. It said you're going to fall. This is something that you didn't lead yourself that direction. You're going in the way the Spirit is leading, and there's temptation. There are trials there, and there's many different kinds, not just one. It's spirit, soul, and body. Knowing this, when you know that the trying of your faith, that's what's going to work patience. You're being tried, but it's the trying of faith. It's the good fight of faith. Someone will come up and they'll say, well, you this and you that, and say, oh, you're digging up a dead man. I mean, have you ever used the word of God? It is written, I have died with Christ. I'm buried with him. I am a new creation. If you want to keep digging up everything that stinks and smell it, go ahead. But I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Let patience have her perfect work. Why? That you will be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, Who has been made wisdom for us? Christ. If you lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not. He's not going to make fun of you. It shall be given him. He knows we have need of all these things. I was in the scripture, and it said that as your days be, so shall your strength be. We are going from strength to strength. You're going from a valley to a mountain, but you're still getting strength in the valley and strength to glorify him on the mountaintop. Strength by strength by strength. And I heard, by strength is grace. More strength, more grace. Much more strength I need, Lord. Much more grace. Your strength will be as needed no matter what. It will be there because he said, if you lack, because his saints are not going to have lack. He has given us everything he's already promised. If you need more strength in the trial, I'll give it to you. Let him ask, but don't waver. He that wavereth is like the wave of a sea. It's driven, the wind, and it's tossed. It's tossed all about. Why? Because it's not resting. You've got to rest. It's resting in who you are and what he said, I shall do for you. Let no man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord when you're wavering and you're in unbelief. It's like he said, a double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways, all of them. Let the brother of low degree, it's time when you're low and you're made low, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Those are racers. These are people, they're racers. And we'll get to that in a minute. I got to hurry. Let the brother of low degree, you just rejoice because you're going to be exalted. But the rich, here's what they get, in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. That's going to pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass. I don't know how many of you, I love mowing my yard, but I tell you this year, I didn't get to mow very much and I wasn't very happy. It's because the sun kept burning my grass. It kept intense heat. And if you want to keep it alive, you had to water, 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 water. The flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it, it'll perish. So also shall a rich man fade away in his way. Blessed. Okay, if you're going through trials and temptations, what does he say? You're blessed. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Wrote this down. Endurance means you are growing in your trials. That is the ability to lean on God for our strength through trials of this life. It also means that we are going to go through a trial without compromising or wavering. That also means doubting, having two opinions. Trust God, or you're going to trust self. Well, blessed are you that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. We had that last Sunday, I believe. There is a crown laid up for me, but not to me only, but to all them who love his appearing. Let no man say when he's tempted, well, I'm tempted of God. God, why are you tempting me? No, God does not tempt. God does not tempt. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. We already know that he, even Jesus, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was tempted and tested, spirit, soul, and body. And it is written past the test all the way through. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, here's why you're tempted. If you go in the way of temptation, you didn't turn to God, you be tempted, you're going to go into temptation. When he draws away of his own lust, there we go again, and he's enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. It brings forth sin. And I wrote down on my paper, I put, boy, faith leads to life and sin leads to death. Then, let's see, don't err, my beloved brethren. Don't err, because when it's finished, it's going to bring forth death. Any part of the flesh, the world, the devil, all this stuff is temporal. These things that we see and the devil's using against us, and he does, and anyone who makes it through that test or trial, it's only by God's grace. That's why he says, blessed are you when you endure and you go through the trials and you're made low. And it's to them who were poor, he makes you rich. Every good gift, every perfect gift. So all good gifts and all perfect gifts are from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us, what? Here we go again, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Truth. Truth is what changes us. Truth is what made us. In the beginning was God. The word was God. It's like everything. He spoke the word. He brought it in existence. What is the one thing people want to leave out? There's an apostasy. A falling away from what? Truth. If we fall away from it, you'll be standing in a lie. And I know this is something I've always said, and I've had to learn it over and over and over because we're still growing. God stands behind truth. He's not going to stand behind a lie. And lie is when you're putting something forth in pretense. It looks good, sounds good, but it's not good. If you weigh it in the balance, weigh it by the word of God, what is the attitude? Why do we do it? I believe it's Corinthians, Frankie will know. Go in Corinthians, and I think it says that you go in and you're like men pleasing. When you know you have to only please one, and that's God, you've got to learn to, we have to learn this, because I believe we're coming into the day. There is going to be forces of darkness, and I'm talking spiritual warfare, even on doctrinal truths. It's going to come. You better know the word of God. Ask him prepare you that you have an answer to give at the time. Whatever trial you go through. I want you now to go over to Revelation, because when I was in the car, I was like, oh, I thought this was so cool how the Lord did it. Kind of put the icing on it. Who are you? Who are you in Christ, okay? The bride, I'll show you how she's going to be found. You look at verse 4. I'm going to start there. Revelation 4 and verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats, okay? Round about. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, they're saved, and they had on their head crowns of gold, okay? And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were 4 beasts. They are full of eyes. Where? inside. Full of eyes before and behind. They know the past and they know what's ahead. And I believe God does tell his bride. He doesn't want her tricked. He's going to tell her by the power of the Holy Ghost, go this way, turn, go that way. And the first beast, and I want you to just think of this. Look at the four Gospels, but look at the four beasts. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. I did this in the beginning of my walk with the Lord. I was jumping in my kitchen, and I thought, what in the world are you doing? And I kept turning, but everywhere I turned, it was Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Matthew, Mark. And I go, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? No matter which way these people turned, no matter what manner of life, no matter what they went through, when they turned, there was Matthew, there was Mark, there was Luke, there was John. What does that mean? What are these four beasts? He said the first one was like a lion. And I wrote down, here's this lion. And we think of a natural lion roaring, taking the kingdom. We are reigning in one through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're reigning in life. It speaks of a king. It speaks of a lion. Mark is an ox. He's a servant. Luke is a man. We remember, Christ came as a man to make me a new man. John, an eagle, you are free to fly. Now, let's take situations in our life. People come up and they begin to talk to her. Do they see Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? Do they see the king, the one who reigns in your life by one man? Do they see your service of love and your humbleness and humility of why you're serving? A man, thank God that I'm a new man in Christ. Do they see that? Because see, they're going to be attacked, but they're standing in him. These are full overcomers. John sees the storm coming. I've been hearing lately, there's a trial coming. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to take you through this fiery trial. I'm going to take you through this dark trial. And I go, a dark trial? Oh, but it is okay. Because he's never failed us yet. He's going to be the same grace that he gave me. He's going to give me more grace and much more grace. And we say, those in the end, what are they going to be doing? Thanking him for his grace. We're thanking him past, present, future. The four beasts had six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not night and day. And that's something that kept coming to me. They had some overcoming to do. They had some overcoming to do. Go in and read the seven churches. To him that overcometh will I do. To him that overcometh will I give this. There's some overcoming to do. And that's where those rewards come through. Overcome through one man. You cannot overcome in self. Self is dead. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's what they're saying. Holy, 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 Lord God. Look at these words. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You're the one who's had the power. You're the one who's been giving us the grace to make it through these situations. As my days were, so was my strength. He said, and they said, Lord God Almighty, which was, that's past, is present, and is to come, that's future. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. The four, and there's a comma, the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive the honor, the power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. This is really worshipers. These are people who have endured. They've gone through. And what do we say endure meant? Get through that trial without compromising or wavering. Don't have two opinions in it. You are growing in your trials. You're learning to lean upon him and receive the strength and the grace for everything we'll ever go through. From today, tomorrow, the next day. But did you ever notice he said, as your day, as your day. That keeps us in a place of total dependence. Today, Lord, I do say this in the morning. Thank you, Lord. Your mercy's new every morning. And your compassions, they fail not. Anything of anything else will fail. But the word of God will stand true forever. Because he's truth. And we need to remember that your conduct through your trial, count it all joy when you fall into this temptation. And remember, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but you be of good cheer. Why? I've overcome the world. And I have to share this before I close because, I forgot about it, but the Lord brought it. I've been studying the book, The Church of Ephesus, and I went in and I said, well, Lord, let me go over and check this, and I'll look in this area and see if, you know, this could be someone just saying his opinion. But no, it was saying that Ephesus was a very wonderful city. It was awesome. And they prospered. But you know what happened to Ephesus? They left their first love. They fell into greed, immorality. They had no morals. I mean, I was reading all this from the history of Ephesus. And you go in and you study that. It looks like it used to be where everybody went and done this and this. And now it's nothing. It's nothing like it was before. Why? George was telling me, gosh, that's like my hometown. When they lived in the Bronx, it was nice. It was nice. But what happened? Compromise came in. Compromise came in. And you know what? Usually when error comes in, where does everybody go? I don't want to live in the Bronx no more. I'm leaving. We just turned all the land right over to the enemy. Take it. What happened to people standing for truth? Now the Bronx is awful. It's down. It's like you take, when you have two in a house, if the house is divided, it's going to fall. And I said, look at the church, what happened? Look at all Ephesus and read the book of Ephesians. Look at everything they had. But they left their first love for something else. And I just thought, everything of this world, anything you have, if you follow the Lord, it gets brighter and more beautiful and more beautiful. But if compromise sets in and we decide, it's just too much, I don't want to do this no more. And you can do that. People say you can't, but you have a choice. But you have the joy set before you. You see, Jesus, she's entering into this with him. The joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. He went through it. Well, now we have a joy set before us. And who is it? It's our bridegroom, Jesus, the Lord of our life, the one he's taken us all the way through this world. And then we're going to get a reward for it. But he did it all. Just like he gives you a check, you get the whole check. But he had to give you the grace to do your job. And no one wants to pay their tithe. He don't need our money. He doesn't need it. He's wealthy. We're already rich, but it's where do you see your riches? He wants to teach us how to walk in his ways and to just follow in his path. And he keeps us to where we're balanced. It's a balanced life. But there's another temptation. Well, you better not pay your tithe. If you pay your tithe, you're not going to have enough money to do. That's a temptation. No, if he gave me $900 this week and he did it all by God's grace, Can he not supply any other need that I have? Of course he can, but I'm never going to enjoy that. I'm not going to enjoy and get to see what God can do unless I step out by faith and just say, thank you, Lord. It's not a, I used to think tithe was, well, you got more money than I got, and I can't afford it. I just can't. And that's when God began, by grace, showing me, how did you get through that trial today at your job, Penny? I said, it was you, Lord. How did you get through your trials all week long, Penny? Oh, it was you, Lord. 15 years I stayed in a job that I wanted to quit day one. And my husband said, I think you should stay there. I learned more about God's grace. Had I ran, I would have had to meet it somewhere else anyway. You might as well grow where you're at. But it was all by God's grace. And he goes, and all I do by the word of God, I mean, we learn about tithe. He said, why don't you just give me the 90% then? 90%. But see, it's only 10% responsibility according to the ability that God giveth. He gave you the ability to do those jobs. It's God that is to be honored and glorified in our life. And I thank him for this. I wish I could have got deeper into Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but, you know, we just can give what he tells us to give. And I'm very thankful. Just be an overcomer in the Lord. Let's all stand.